you're recording.
Okay. So with an opportunity on Daf Tes here to either do Hotzon, Tes Amud Aleph, or Tfila on Tes Amud Beis, it was a no-brainer. So we're on Tes Amud Beis. Some interesting things on Tes Amud Aleph, no doubt. Short, but difficult Daf. Difficult Amud. You know, it's like the little tosses in are harder than the big ones. It's a short Amud, but with all that Rashi, you know. It's not even that it's a lot of tosses in it. Rashi needs that much space. So this is one of those Amudim, which, at least for me, are incredibly difficult because I'm spatially challenged when it comes to, like, Erevin or Shabbos, when it comes to imagining the pictures. Where's the Korah? Where's the Lehi? I have a very, very hard time. I need pictures for things like that. So,
the article is missing. Somebody took the article.
Joey! Joe Pa, okay. So, Daf Tes is a very interesting, and it gives us a little bit of a break. Where we can do a little bit of Hilchos Tefillah. Very, very important Mishnah. I'll just read the Mishnah, and I want to, as you can see on the Mar Mukamos, I want to talk about two topics which come up. One is explicit in the Gemara, and one is, I guess, if you will, a diuk of mine. I wouldn't call it the most original diuk, but I think a little bit of what I'll say about that diuk is a little bit original. But the basic Mishnah, which is very important, teaches us the halacha, which has many ramifications. Tefillah has this primary Mishnah, but the truth is that it's relevant for many halachos as recently as Hanukkah. Right, when you're not sure, you know, when the mitzvah's coming up, you're not supposed to be doing things before that because we're worried that you might forget. And here the Mishnah tells us, "Lo yashik adam lifnei hasefer." Hasafar stamach lemincha ad yispal. Right, close to mincha time, you're not supposed to go get a haircut. Right, as Rashi says, "Shem yishkach v'lo yispal," because maybe you'll forget and you won't daven. Lo yikanes adam lemerchatz, you shouldn't go take a shvitz, v'lo leborsiki, to a tannery, v'lechol you should need, v'lo ledin, you shouldn't go to a din Torah. None of this should be done before mincha, because the word, you'll forget, you won't daven. V'imichilu, but if all of these, if you already did start, then ein lafsikin. Whether you should have or shouldn't have, but if you did start, then we're not going to interrupt you. However, important distinction here in the Mishnah, lafsikin lekros kriyashma, v'ein lafsikin letfilah. If this would be a Shaila Vichos Krishma, let's say in the morning, or you know, a certain amount of time, it says Man Krishma, so then we'd say even if you started, which you shouldn't have, but then if you did, we will interrupt you because we're so concerned that you might forget, as opposed to Tefillah. What that last line in the Mishnah is adding, after all, didn't that exactly that what the line before that had said? We just said Ein Masikin if you started. So that I think Rashi tells us that the Gemara is going to discuss. But that's the basic halacha of the Mishnah. And the Gemara starts off, interestingly, this was a topic which I considered doing. It's technical, which is why I chose not to, but important, which is to understand the different minchas. The mincha gedola, which is technically a half of an hour after chatzos, and mincha katana, which is 3.5 hours after chatzos. So the Gemara starts off by assuming that we're talking about mincha gedola. Mincha Ketana, because at least then you could understand why there would be a worry, because that's close to Shkia. But then the Gemara doesn't understand that, and then the Gemara ends up suggesting that Liolam Samach L'Mincha Gedol, or even talking about the fact that you should be doing things early in the afternoon, like at 12 o'clock or something on a day like today, because we'll worry. Now, what's the worry? The worry is that you're going to go all the way until 5:15. Right? Not a half an hour worry. It's a 5.5 hour worry or so. On a day like today, because you have all the way, Shkia is not until 5:15 or something on a day like today, it's like 5:20 something. Right? So yet, and even if a chvais, I don't know, mincha gedola is 12 something, even half an hour or some samach lazeh, whatever the samach means, that's a long time. That's a shaila, so why would you have a fear? What could happen for so long? So that's what the Gemara tells us. At least in this first answer, the Gemara says, well, it depends. It's not just that you're going to get a haircut. You're getting a super special haircut, which mimics the complicated hairdressing that the Kohen Gadol had. And you're not just going to the Schwitz. You're going to the Schwitz. You're going to get a hot bath and a cold bath and then a rub down and then another hot bath and a steam. Right? Let it not be said that Chazal were unaware of these luxuries. The Mamre says, that's a real, not just Amasuda, a big suit of Gadola. Right? You're going to, before the game. Right, you gotta get ready. It's so these things take a long time. That's the first answer of the Gemara, and then Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no, it could even be disparsely done. We're so worried, even with a regular normal haircut. So what's the lachachila? Why are we so worried? Zeva, were worried maybe it's such an exotic worry, maybe the barber will break his scissors. He's going to have to go run around looking for a new pair of scissors. And even if it's going to be a regular tannery, but we're worried that something's going to happen to your property and you're going to get all upset, and et cetera, et cetera. Even a small meal, maybe you'll just schmooze the whole time, it can still go long, even, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's interesting, Shiloh, to what extent, how neurotic, frankly, is the question, how neurotic do we have to be that even earlier in the day, for Mincha Gedolah, even for perhaps, according to the second answer, small things, Pastor Shiloh, how neurotic do you have to be? That is the Shiloh. The Gemara then start asking technical questions. What's the Gemara had said? Now the second part, that's what L'chachila, you're not supposed to start. But then the Mishnah had said, if you start, we won't interrupt you. So now the Gemara, analyzing that second part of the Mishnah, says, well, what counts as starting? So again, another historical fact, that apparently in the time of the Gemara, they knew of those things that the barber puts on you. So the hair shouldn't get all over you? What are those things?
The aprons.
The aprons, right? That's exactly what the Gemara says. Rashi, what does Rashi say? What is the ma'auferes? Sudar v'nosna al birkav shlo yipal aseir al begadav. An apron so the hair shouldn't get on you. Mamish, exactly like where some things don't change. Some things don't change. That, so once the guy puts the apron on you, it's as if you started, even though he didn't cut a hair yet. And what's, how does it count? What does it mean to start the shvitz? The second you take off your outer garment, you've already started the process. Once you started even that, then we're not going to make you stop, etc. Even though maybe you shouldn't have done it, we're not going to make you stop. What about the Suda? So once you just wash your hands, it's already considered a Suda. Then, this last five lines of the Gemara says something interesting. Chanina Amar, Mishiyat Er Chagura. Not when you've washed, once you've undone your belt. When you first read this, you smile a little bit, because you, I assume, are all have the same memory, feeling as I did, which is, well, don't you usually open up your belt at the end of the meal. It's a good meal. You certainly have had to do that. So that's why we explain, right?
They used to wear girdle.
Right. They used to wear very tight belts. Very tight belts. And they obviously couldn't eat. They could barely breathe. They certainly couldn't eat unless they undid the belt. In that culture, they had such a tight belt. In fact, that's what the Gemara says. It's not a stira, han lon vahan lu. It depends. Bavel versus Archistrol, did they have a tight belt or did they not have a tight belt? But essentially, more so that's all the same shear. That's the first thing you did before you started eating. It's the preparation, the last step for preparation. Then comes along Abaye and says the following. Hane chavrin bavloi, our friends in Bavel, lamant amr tzvil zeshus, according to the one, arvis reshus, according to the opinion that holds that my riv is only optional, is only reshus, kevad the sharilei, hey mena, getting back now to the focus of the original Mishnah, which is you're not supposed to do things before you davened. So here now he switches to Meir. He says, well, once they've opened up their belt, since that apparently signals the beginning of the meal, once they've opened up their belt, we can be Mekil, because after all, Meir is anyway a Rishus. That's Abaye's line. So what's the implication of that, says the Gemara? So that applies only Mand Amar Rishus. Someone who held that Meirav was a Chiyuv, we would, even though he undid his belt, we would say, put that belt back on, and the girdle, and get in Davin Meirav. But that's not true. But that goes against our Mishnah. Mincha, which everyone agrees is a Chiyuv, yeah, we just said explicitly in our Mishnah, if you started, if you undid your belt, if you went to the tannery, if you went to the Shvitz, we're not going to stop you. Amar Rav Chanina, Mishiyat Chaguro. So the Gemara, we'll just go to finish the thought on Daf Yud. It says two answers: Hasavo Shricha Shechrus, Hacha Shricha Shechrus. The afternoon versus the evening is a distinction, because in the evening we're more nervous that you can get shikr, as opposed to the afternoon. And secondly, Inami B'Mincha Kevin Dekvila Zimna Mirtas V'Lo'asil L'Mishpat. That when it comes to Mincha, we can also be more makel, not only because we're not worried about you getting drunk, but because it has a more kavuazman, meaning it ends at a more specific time, therefore you will be, this is again, it's an important Jewish word, mertatz, it means anxious and neurotic. It's a very Jewish characteristic. So therefore, we're less worried about something bad happening, of you over, taking it too far. As opposed to Mariv, again, the point the Gemara seems to end with here is, for one or both of these reasons, we're more machmir when it comes to Ma'ariv, at least according to Abaye, that we'd only be makel if you started your meal samoch l'Ma'ariv, and then we wouldn't make you stop. That's only if you hold mind amar Ma'ariv Rishus. But if you held mind if you held that Ma'ariv was a chiyuv, we'd be more machmir on Ma'ariv than we would on Mincha. Again, let's just make sure we're all clear. What is, how does the Gemara end? We'd be more machmir on Ma'ariv for one of the two reasons that are mentioned, that if you started eating, we would stop you to make sure you daven Ma'ariv, as opposed to Mincha, even though you shouldn't have started, but if you did start, we wouldn't stop you. That is what emerges from the Gemara. Right, that's the Gemara's conclusion. I would like, again, that's a little bit of a brief overview of this Daf Amud Beis, Testament Beis. I wanted to discuss two topics. The second one, which is a little bit lengthier, is the one that's explicitly addressed in our Gemara. Our Gemara explicitly makes reference to the famous Machlokas from Masechta Brachos, whether Tfilas Arvis is Rishus Rechovas. I'd like to discuss that. But beforehand, I'd like to go back. And I'd like to discuss the topic here, I have in my Mamar Komos, whether davening itself in general, is that a Chiyuv D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan? Now you'll ask, where is that discussed in the Gemara? This is my deal, if you will. It's actually not discussed in the Gemara. Where is it discussed?
I guess. Still in the Mishnah between Tfilah
and more specifically, by Rashi. It's an important Rashi. Oh. In theory, you could understand the Mishnah perhaps other ways. Uh-huh. But Shraga is right. What I'm getting at is where this topic arises, and I want to get back to the Rashi. I think it's a critical Rashi, actually, at least potentially critical, and I haven't seen other people quote this Rashi, so I'm almost nervous to put too much weight in it. But the Mishnah here distinguished between, by the end of the Gemara, we perhaps are distinguishing between Ma'ariv and Mincha. Before we got to there, the Mishnah distinguished between davening, Mincha specifically, but davening and Kriya Shema. Why? Because it didn't say. But what was the distinction? Well, you weren't supposed to start, but if you started, would we interrupt you? So the Mishnah had said for davening, no. For Kriya Shema, yes. So why? What does Rashi tell us? Mafsikin and the Kriya Shema. The Isa mi daraisa. Krishma is daraisa. So Shail is, what's the diuk? It doesn't seem to be a big stretch. It seems that Rashi holds that Tfila is Mirabana. So this raises, I just want to, again, very briefly, no Chedushim even per se, just a quick overview of the famous Machlokes, whether Tfila on an everyday basis is daraisa or Darabana. The famous Shitos here are basically a Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Rambam says in a number of places in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Hilchos Aleph through Beis, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in which it says, hey, Rambam has the following very well articulated, clearly thought out scheme, which is that Mida Araisa, there's a Chiyuv to daven once a day. Where does he get it from? From the famous Sifrei / Maratainis Daf Beis, right? The Pasuk says, of all places in Krishma, right, with all of your heart, says Chazal, what's the drasha? How do you serve with your heart? Service is a manual thing. What does it mean to serve with your heart? Zu tefillah. So you see from this, apparently from this sifrei, they darshan the pasuk that there's a chiyuv to daven, says the Rambam. Elamai, says the Rambam, when you daven and how you daven was totally up to you. But once a day, B'chol Zman or B'chol Lashon, once a day, something, sometime, says Rambam, that's an obligation d'araisa. You're going to say we're going to daven this many times a day, and more specifically, what's the Nusach HaTfilah? That Rambam says, and he traces the evolution historically in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam tells us that is a Takana Mida Rabbanan. But the bottom line is, the essential Chiyuv to daven from Rambam is a Chiyuv d'araisa, and his basic Marmakom seems to be an explicit drasha of Chazal. The Rambam also, again, in the Koteres, or what some refer to as the Ramazim, right, in the beginning of each Hilchos X or Y in the Rambam, he has a little bit of like a chapter heading. And I'll tell you how many mitzvahs are going to be discussed. Just the Koteres. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos says there's two mitzvahs I'm going to discuss, Kriya Shema and Tefillah. So again, that's at least three examples where the Rambam seems is very consistent and clear. He holds Tefillah is the Araisa. The Ramban, in a very, very famous comment, he has a little bit on Al Torah as well, but it's more famously known in his Asagos to the Sefer Mitzvos there. The Ramban has many, many shilas against the Rambam. He seems to say it's explicit. The Gemara, he has many rayas. The Tefillah is only Mir Rabbanan. The Rambam, didn't just quote the famous pasuk from the Sefrei. The Rambam quoted a number of other pasukim that seem to say about Tefillah. So the Ramban says two things. One is pasukim in general are an asmachta, they're not meant to be real makaros. And Secondly, the Rambam has his chiddush that there is such a concept of tefillah as a daraisa. The Ramban says tefillah based tzara, like Pesukim talk about when you went out to war, they blew the shofar, etc. Tefillah based tzara, says the Ramban, is a daraisa. But general tefillah, the idea that every day you have to get up, this is when I knew that the Ramban was my hero. You don't have to get up, it's okay. You can learn, right? I mentioned, I think, in other contexts, that I'm sure that Moshe Feinstein has, you know, can you learn late, so late that you have a hard time waking up for Shacharis? And Moshe says no. Presumably, according to the Ramban, you'd say yes. That's what I was always hoping for as a kid. But that, no, we're more balanced. Halacha, at least we assume Moshe was against that. You have to daven and you have to learn each one in its right time.
You think the Ramban would have said, even the Ramban was on the race, do you think he would have said you don't have to daven?
I don't know if you say went up to daven, but if you spent all night learning and you woke up a little late, it seems like it wouldn't be as big a deal, I would guess.
You still have the Ramban in the half.
Okay, fair enough. I just like the Ramban.
Yeah.
Rabbi Ganak has a famous hesped for a Soloveitchik. You think Soloveitchik, Ramban, Brisk, he has a hesped for the Rav was called Walking with Ramban. All about how the real inspiration for the Rav was the Ramban. Could
what
be.
What about Torah Menasa? Torah Menasa.
I don't know, maybe, yeah. Listen, there are Hederim. I was once at a conference. I was once at a scholarly / rabbinic conference, and one of the people who was also invited, it was an invitation-only conference. One of the other people who was invited is like a biblical scholar type. He lives on the Upper West Side. He's on the Upper West Side on Sola. And he had to speak like on a Wednesday morning. So he can. I remember Rabbi Willick, who was upset that he like said it so freely, even though probably it's the right. But he mentioned that like he had been on a call, and he came straight from the call. He hasn't davened. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning. So he didn't have a patur to come to the conference, not to daven. But he had a patur when he was on Hassan Salah call, not to daven. So, you know, there are times in Echanami when you're about Osik and Mitzvah. Yeah. I don't know if Torah Somnosu would. You know, if you've been Azai, I mean, you know, but I don't know if I'm not giving out any tatum on that regard. But just to give you an example of one of the rais that is in the direction of the Ramban, the Gemara Masechta the Brachos and the Chavalif has two halachos. One, the Gemara says, if you're a Baal Keri, you're tummy. The Gemara says you don't make the Brachos Kriya Shema, if I remember correctly, but you're Mahar Her Kriya Shema. But it is not, but not Tefillah, only Kriya Shema. Why? And the Gemara says explicitly, because Kriya Shema is Daraisa, Tefillah Darabonon. But if you have a Suffolk, if you said Kriya Shema or not? So you go back and you say Kriya Shema. What if you had a Suffolk, if you davened? You don't.
Yeah, but that. We actually saw that. Someone actually saw that yesterday also on the tour. But it seems to me that's not necessarily right. There's no bracha of Krishna. Krishna is not a bracha.
No, but the brachas Krishna are their own mitzvah.
So you're saying you would say if you,
that's lumbas of Krishna, which I'm not prepared to talk about now.
You had, if you're the topic, whether you said the whole brachas Krishna, you go back and say brachas Krishna.
I don't know. But the point is that Gemara does not say it explicitly. But I think if you look in Rashi on brachos, Rashi there says explicitly why, in terms of the suffix case, because again, Krishna is daraisa. Tefillah is not. I think, again, in this general machlokes, which is usually known as machlokes Rambam Ramban, again, I didn't read everything that's ever written on the topic, but I haven't seen our Rashi quoted. But to me, it's a good diak. Rashi clearly holds like the Ramban. The Tefillah is the Rabbanan. A Gemara, maybe you'll hint in a hair, the Rambam must have had another explanation for to get out of. But you could certainly argue the Fumriyata, that Rashi holds that, like the Ramban. Now, that begs the question, this is an often a Mishnah against the Rambam, then. So how do you answer our Mishnah for the Rambam? I would say, just like that, but I'll derech you, but slightly different, and that is the following. The Kesef Mishnah, again, no one talks about our Mishnah. I'm introducing it to the topic. But these Gemaras are the Ramban quotes. So that's, you know, this has been... Chronim have been dealing with these questions for centuries now. So the Kesef is a classic Kesef Mishnah, a well-known Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. So he basically has a very technical answer to basically, he tries to be nich all these Gemaras and basically say, those Gemaras are talking about the fact that you already daven once. The Rambam himself says you don't daven once. But that's nothing to do with Mincha later in the day. You still have to have Mincha. Okay, but Mincha is the Rabbanan. That everyone will agree, even the Rambam. And when he woke up in the morning and he said, you know, your God, thank you. Have a good day, Shmi Masliach. That was Daraisa. That's not Nister from the Gemaras. That's the famous answer of the Kesef Mishnah. I would suggest that the Rambam would have to say the same thing here. If you again, unless you have a different reading of this Mishnah, this is not relevant. But to the best of my knowledge, this should be a relevant raya, especially as Rashi reads the Mishnah. Yeah. But the answer l'chora would be like the Gaz Mishnah. The problem with that answer, which is potentially a problem with all of these rayas of the answers of the Gaz Mishnah, is what the Shagasari points out. Again, I'm not sure. Just wanted to mention this to give you a little bit of a time. I'm not getting into all the issues, and the Shagasari and those who speak about it subsequently add other things. But the Kasmishi gives a very technical answer. The Shagasari has a very technical question on the Kasmishi's answer, which is just that something like that the Gemara should have said. In other words, the Gemara in all these cases never says, the Gemara is Sasam. Tzvila Durabanan. A phrase like that does not necessarily imply, well, yeah, if you already daven, we're talking about the second time of the day. The Pashas of those Gemaras, I think the Shagasari is correct. It's not to distinguish between how many times did you already daven today.
We would come out according to the Rambam that he would be much more machmer for things that you would not be allowed to do before Shacharis than things that you're allowed to do before Mincha.
Correct. That's the Shaila. This halacha, according to the Mishnah. You know, the Mishnah simply seems to distinguish between Tefillah and Krishma, but if you assume that this is, again, unless there's something that we're not thinking of, to take this completely off the table. But if you assume this is a relevant halacha, which I think it has to be, again, unless I'm missing something, and you assume that the reason that the Mishnah makes the distinction, maybe there's other answers I didn't see, but if you assume this is straight Daraisa Darabon Chiluk as Rashi implies, then according to the Rambam, until you've gotten your Daraisa Chiluk off, you'll have the same Chiluk as the Mishnah says about Krishma. I would think that's correct.
First of all, Shachas maybe not, because you already had Marav the night before, I would think. And also...
That relates to our second topic.
Right, we've already dismissed the Marav thing, and besides Marav, you have an entire day ahead of you, and we don't say with any of these things that you can't even start like from Shacharis time to you could get the longest bathhouse, but with the works in the world, but nobody ever.
Said right, interesting. Good, okay, interesting point. Okay, let's move on to the second topic, which is the issue of Tefillas Arvus Rishos. This is what the Gemara discusses explicitly at the bottom of the Amud. And it makes reference to the famous Machlokas in Sechta Brachas, the Chavova Mebeis. Machlokas, whether Tzilas Arvis, Chova, or Rishos. How do we paskin, first of all? So, Shitas of Rambam itself is convoluted, just to mention. Rambam Menachos Tfila seems to be explicit. I'm sorry, let me take that back. Okay, good. That is the machlokas. Rashi tells us on this comment, the second Rashi from the bottom, Laman Domer Tzil Tavs Rishos, he makes reference to the Gemara Masech Lebrachos, where this is a machlokas. We'll get back to the continuation of Rashi momentarily, but this is a very basic machlokas. And in fact, it really relates to, perhaps relates at least, or the question is, what is the relationship between this and a second Gemara? Another Gemara there in Masech Lebrachos, which is the famous discussion of what is the Artfilos, what do they correspond to? So the first Mandamar, very famous, Avos or Tiknum, right? Avram Shachros, Yitzchak Mencha, Yankov Marit. And the second opinion is Keneged Karbonos, right? Tamid Shalom Boker, Tamid Shalom Rabbayim. And what is Mariv? The Gemara says, I think they're Chalav, things that were left over that have to be burnt by the end of the day. On this question, how do we paskin? What is the basis of tefillah? Is it the karbonos or the avos? So for this, the Rambam seems to have a stira. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah says that the source for tefillah is the karbonos. Yet the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says that the source for tefillah is the avos. So clearly there's other explanations out there, but one I wanted to share is the Or Sameach. Sameach suggests that the Rambam holds both. What's the relationship between the two? What do you think? So the Rambam, he says as follows. Ikar chiyuv, interestingly, even though this is the one that comes from Malachim, says the Or Sameach says, Ikar chiyuv is the avos. They set the standard for us. The chiddush of karbonos is the notion of the timing. And you have to daven keneged avos to. But the specific parameters, like we saw in our Gemara, right? The Gemara was asking about Mincha Gedola versus Mincha Katana. All of that is based on karbonos. That you wouldn't necessarily have gotten from the avos. Therefore, the fact that we have both is the combination of avos versus karbonos. Now this relates to a second question, which is really a question that Achronim Tumulin, And that is the relationship between this question and our topic. Namely, what is the relationship between that machlokas of avos versus karbonos and the machlokas of arvus chova versus rishos? Namely, does one put you into a box for the other? What do I mean to say? So there is a commentary on the Ein Yaakov known as the Rif. I don't remember offhand who wrote it, but not to be confused with the Rif in the back of the Gemara much later. The Rif there on the Ein Yaakov, I've seen people quote this Rif mistakenly. They give it more authority even, yeah. I never saw anyone who quoted Rafasi as this, but I did see someone just today who quoted this particular comment. Just as the Stam Rif. Anyway, it's not the Rif on Ein Yaakov and Brachos there. So he says it's a Hava Hatalia. Namely, if you hold Keneged Avos, that Yaakov is Masakein Arvis, fill in the blank, you are forced to say that Arvis is a Chova. The Bechir HaAvos, Yaakov, he's Masakein Arvis, but yet it's only Rishus. Of course not, says the Rif, whoever he is, the Rif Allah in Yaakov. If you hold that it was Keneged Avos and the Chanami, you would hold Chova. Our Gemara, and it would appear generally speaking, because this is how we pass in Halacha, Atos Arvus Rishus, it is only a Liba Demanda Omar, Keneged Karbonos Tiknum. Now I want to suggest, again, I haven't seen this, but it could be that others do say this, I want to suggest that our Rashi is Meduyak like that Rif. Let's give this a little bit more teeth, not just a Rif not on the Ein Yaakov. I think it's Rashi. Look at our Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maschal, Laman, Domer, Tulas, Arvus, Rishus, Mesechas, Barakos, Dachav, Zainim, Abeiz, Mibnei, Shehi, Keneged, Hector, Chalav, Ave, Emurim, Shein, Ma'akven, Kaparasa. Rashi seems to be the favorish linking these as Abba Hatalia. Why is Tulas, Arvus, Rishus? Oh, I take that. Yeah, because it's Keneged Karbonos. I Hector Chalavim was not Ma'akev. But I don't think it's such a big jump to say that the Diuk and Rashi is an Enechanami. If it would have a different Keneged, not Keneged Karbonos, but Keneged Avos, Enechanami, it would be a... Did someone say that?
No, I was just saying Tosis really said the other way. Tosis, in a way, it supports you, because if you look at Tosis, the Man Dalmar,
yeah,
talks about Arvus Rishus, and then the Re says, in Erlul Re, if you Man number two is Arvus Rishus,
we're going to get to this. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so, but what do you want to bring out of it, though?
That the retakes, the reason, it's very good. The reason, the basis, of course, of the Rif is saying that the reason why you have to take Meyer very seriously.
Saying you have to take Meyer seriously, but it's still a Rishus, according to him. He's saying it's a Rishus, but don't blow it off.
I want to get to this opinion in a second, but I don't know if it's connected.
No, I take it back.
Okay, good.
What do you say, Chova or Rishus?
Correct. So that is the first, then we ask the question, what is the relationship between this machlokas of Avos versus Karbonos and Arvus and Rishus? So the first answer is, this Rif, and perhaps if I'm correct in Rashi, they're directly connected. Those two machlokas are Abba Hatalia. However, a number of other Achronim don't want to be boxed in. Because those are independent machlokasim, they're significant machlokasim. We'd rather have as much flexibility in these type of things as possible. So there's one answer which is given, a little bit different from each other, but it could be that there's more or less one answer, and that is both from the Pnei Yoshua and the Nitziv and the Hamek Shelu. The Pnei Yoshua says that even if it was Keneged Avos and it's Yaakov, it could still be the Rishus. Why? The Bechir Shev Avos, why are we picking on him? The answer is because perhaps, says the Pnei Yoshua, when Yaakov davened Ma'ariv there, he wasn't Mechavin to be Mechadish and Utfilo. He wanted to daven. He thought he'd be davening Mincha. What happened? Hashem made the sun go down. So Meili was davening at night. It wasn't like he said, oh, my grandfather did Shacharis, my grandfather did Mincha. Now it's nighttime, and I'm going to show you, you should even daven at night. I've given, you know, rabbis give drushas about that, on that parsha. But, says Pinesha, that's not really what happened. He wanted to daven, he thought he was davening Mincha, but sure enough, Hashem made the sun go down. Or a little bit differently, but also along the same lines, and it says, because it wasn't so much that he had, again, a kavanat in his Chadash Tefillah. He was walking by, and all of a sudden he realized, oh my gosh, this is Makom Shesbal Avosai. So he had this spontaneous Sesorus. He's inspired. I'm in the place of my father. My grandfather, I have to daven. It happened to be nighttime, okay. But he wasn't looking again to create a new. So even though it's Keneged Yaakov, because he's the first one who did it, but he wasn't being Masak in anything. He could still be Rishus. Finally, another interesting answer given by the Achronim, who also wants to break this connection. He says, again, it could be Yaakov as Rishus, the Torah Tanima, the Torah Tamima says, because Yaakov was really potter. Why? Because there's a ketura, it's on the books to this day, of Holchei Drachim. If you have jet lag, you're potter from davening. It's a fairish halacha. So Yaakov was on the run, he was traveling. So he's such a sad tzaddik that he davened, but that's not going to make a chob l'doros. Says the Torah Tamima, could still be rishus, because technically he was potter. Okay, so those are the different approaches to this relationship. Again, the most authoritative of all the Maramakamos, if we're right, Rashi is the one who does hold there's a connection. But if not, it's at least the three machlokes and achronim, whether you hold that these two machlokesim are connected or not. Two more points I'd like to mention. The first is, which is what Shragi and Sarai mentioned before, which is this Tosus, really, there's a Tosus in a number of places in the Shas, and it's really one in Masechta Yuma, which quotes a Bahag, which quotes a second approach to this. And that is the famous question of what does that mean, Arvus Rishus? And is what I'll call the high school question. I mean, I don't have to daven Marv. So what is everyone told in high school? You do have to daven. And then it gets fuzzy. So how do you finish that sentence coherently? So Tosus here, and others there, right? Oh, so what does that mean? So good, let's get to that. So the big question that many the Rishonim ask is the following. We know, just a few days ago, Myriv on Rosh Chodesh. What's the halacha if you forget Yalav Yavo? Dr. Haber, you have to go back? Why? What does the Gemara say? Because they weren't Makadosh the Chodesh. So technically, even if today was Rosh Chodesh, that means it's not going to be until tomorrow morning. Says the Tosfos, why didn't the Gemara give an easier, better answer? Arvus is Rishus. So if you davened, okay, but you're not going to make you go back and do a second Mariv if the whole thing is Rishus anyway.
But if you miss Matzah Baruch, then you still have to go back. Chori, according to that, you shouldn't have to go back.
Okay, so first we have to answer this question, then we'll know the answer to that question. And what's the answer? The answer is, says Tosfos here and in Yuma and other places, Tosfos consistently. No, Tos Arvus Rishus is like a misnomer. It's very confusing. Really, really, Tfilas Arvus is a chiyuv. What's the lashon here? Let's just take this lashon inside. Here, the Riyah Filamon, Amr Tfilas Arvus Rishus, second line. Ein Labat Labachino. Ela Bishul Shum Tzorach. In other words, whatever reason, perhaps it's kind of get the carbonos, whatever the reason is, it's a little bit less. In other words,
the obligation is not at the same.
The bar that needs to be overcome when there's counter pressure, there's a great need, you have to go pick up your in-laws from the airport, whatever. So that is a little bit lower. It's not gone. It's not a rishus. It's just a little bit lower. It's like we have a concept, mitzvah l'gavei chova, karelei rishus. You could have two things which are really obligatory, but if one is considered more obligatory than the other, the latter is often referred to. We have examples of this throughout Shas as a rishus. And it doesn't mean an absolute rishus. It's a relative rishus, exactly. That is this, Tosus says this in a number of places in Shas. That really, it's a misnomer. Why do you have to daven Marv? Because it's a chiyuv. They call it rishus, that just gives you a nafkamina every few years. But really, it doesn't mean, it's not meaningful. The Bahag says what you're more familiar with, ironically enough, it's a Bahag. The Bahag says, Enechanami, the man d'armer says, Tosus Arvus Rishus means it was a rishus. But, kiblu alayu. It was accepted, it became the second stage in history. Now, what is that second stage? So here is an interesting, I don't think it's such a well-known, Machlokes Rishonim. The more well-known approach, I think, is that of the Rambam and others, who say that at some point in history, don't ask me to pinpoint the year, the date, or the month, Chalal Yisrael were Makabal, they all started davening Ma'ariv, and Chalal Yisrael was Makabal, Altsminig, it became a Chiyuv on all of us. There is an interesting rush. I gave you the Maramakam, you'll take a look. There's a Tumei Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, says similar. The Rosh says, it's not a Klai Yisrael's Makabal. How could Klai Yisrael Machayev me? I would. You were Makabal. Are you davening Ma'ariv yesterday? Why'd you daven? Unless maybe, again, I don't remember the Lashon of the Rosh offhand. Unless maybe you would say, every single time I daven with the express knowledge, it's Rishus, but I'm going to do it. But the Rosh assumes that that's not what people do. People go to daven because they know they have to daven Ma'ariv. And because you daven Ma'ariv yesterday as a Chiyuv, and the day before is a chiyuv. You were makabel on yourself as a chiyuv. That's why it became a chiyuv. Not the Klai Yisrael accepted it. You accepted it. That again, that's just a nuance, machlokas. But the basic idea is the two schools of thought. Tosfos says it was always really a mitzvah. The Bahag says and Rambam and others seem to say no, it was a rishus, but then it became. I mean, I just want to point out the following: bein lamar, but it certainly works better according to the Bahag and the Rambam. there do seem to be echoes, even la halacha, of the notion of rishus. Again, it works better for them because they held it really was rishus at one point in history. According to Tosfos, these nafkaminas would be more difficult to say. But you do have a number of echoes la halacha in major rishonim and poskim, where even to this very day, where we talk about a chiyuv, nevertheless, there may be, as I say, echoes of the fact that it started off as a rishus. And I'll give you a few examples. The Rambam himself, in Hilchos Tefila, Tes, it's also a Chuvas HaRashba. If you look at this Rambam, Hilchos Tefila, he says this explicitly. Why is there no Chazar HaShatz in Ma'ariv? Because you got to get home? I never thought about it because I was too happy about it. Why is there no Chazar HaShatz?
Okay, you think they would have because at night people
have more time. Right. Also, people have more time. Minchas is more difficult for people. So the Rambam says explicitly, I didn't look into this topic exhaustively. I don't know the other answers. But the Rambam, at least, are explicit. It's because it was Arvus Rishus. And it would be a subic brachos levatala to have, that's a real Rishus, the way he says it. Again, if the Rambam, who in the same breath has already told us that you and I don't have a free option not to daven Marv, nevertheless, he says there's still an echo of its original, its humble origins. That's why there's no Chazar HaShatz.
The whole reason for Chazar HaShatz, the beginning reason.
Right.
You really think so? You should have done it.
Right, so that makes this even more striking. I agree. It makes it more striking.
That person never started davening anyhow.
Okay, right. No, okay, right.
But the idea was that's the way they accepted the Yubis. Tfilas Haris was a shus. And when they accepted the Chovah, they accepted under certain parameters.
Right, that, yes, maybe what the Rambam is implying. But that is still fascinating. Fascinating. The Rambam himself also, Paragimel, says the following. Why do we have a notion like even like in our shul, let alone sometimes you have to do it earlier, like on Erev Shabbos, sometimes which is the early Ma'ariv. We have much more flexible Zmanim, right? We don't have early Minchas. You know, say Tachlin again after Zman. This is such... Yidavin and Yidavin, you get it right, you don't get it right. What's this idea of an early Ma'ariv? We have much more flexible Zmanim. So the Rambam there again says, because we can be more flexible with Ma'ariv, because of its humble beginning, because of Man Damar, Ma'ariv is Rishus. Okay, right, exactly. Another one which is a very famous because
did
of Rav
Chaim. Did he daven two shmonesos?
I don't know. The Rambam and the Ravid have the following fascinating machlokas. The halacha is, if you started davening, this has actually happened to me once or twice, you started davening, and in the middle of shmonesos you realize, hey, I davened already. This never happened to me for shacharis, I have to say. Anyone who does it for chakras, that's impressive. That's an impressive level of luftkeit. But it could happen for mincha, right? Many times, right? If you are, if you daven, like this happens all the time, you have early shir in yeshiva, you daven mincha and a shir, then you're the base medrash, and the base medrash is davening mincha. This has happened to me more than once. Everyone gets up to daven, you're just like mindless, and you do that, you start davening. You daven marv earlier, you're in the base medrash, you're davening marv at 10. There's people, certainly it happened to me more than once. Then you realize in the middle, Nebuch, you phase back in. So you might have thought you can continue as an adava. The halacha is no. Since these are tefillos which are supposed to be chobos, you can't take a chobah and turn it into an adava. You just got to stop. You just made a mistake. Better quit while you're ahead, stop as soon as possible. Right, the shayla, that's shachris and that's mincha. What do you say about my riff? So the Rambam says, Eina chinami. If this happens at Ma'ariv, you continue davening, and the kavana that now the continuation is in the dava. Because after all, Ma'ariv is rishus, so the fact that you can't just for shachas and mincha, because they're absolute chobos, an absolute chobah can't be downgraded to a nadava. But a rishus, mandam a rishus, the Ravid goes ballistic. How could you say that? But lamaisa, now it's a chiyuv. So Reb Chaim has a famous comment. Reb Chaim has two pieces on Hilchos Tefila. The first one is much more famous. That's the Rambam about Kavana, first three brachos versus the rest. There's also a second one. It's good to see the second one. That's this one. The Rambam says, the Reb Chaim says the following Chakira. When we say that Ma'ariv is Arvus is Rishus, what does that mean? Does that mean that the original Chiyuv to dive in Ma'ariv is a rishus? But lamaisa, if you do it, if you will, the actual tefillah, the cheft of the tefillah, has a status of an obligatory tefillah? Or is it, no, your whole, it's the rishus from the beginning, and it's rishus in the middle, and it's rishus at the end, the whole tefillah is a rishus. So the Reb Chaim suggests that that's machlokas Rambam and Raavad. The Rambam holds the true arvus is a rishus. I'm sorry, the Rambam holds that arvus is a rishus, means it's a rishus, the Rambam holds it's always a rishus. Yeah. And therefore, when you remember in the middle, you came out of your daydream, you're holding by it's close rishus. And therefore, it's still rishus, it's an easy hop, skip, and a jump to Nadava. But the Raavad held, until you took your 3 steps back, it was a rishus. Once you, so to speak, once you start, then cheftz of the tefillah has a chalos chova. Therefore, you can't be mach, you can't transform that tefillah. You're as a gavra, you have it's a chovas rishus. But the tefillah itself, when you say it, it's a tefillah. It's myriv. It's not stam. I'm davening that I should do well on the test. It's myriv. You can't turn myriv into an adava. So that again, at least the shita sarambam. Be another echo of the impact of Tzilas Rishus. And finally, I'll just mention that in conclusion is the Chovas Nashim. Very, very briefly, the Gemara Brachos tells us explicitly that women are obligated in davening. That's explicit. I, Mitzvah Shema Grama, perhaps, I this, I that. Where it says, Rachmei Ninu. Tefillah is for, we need Rachmanos from Hashem. Men and women need Rachmanos just the same. So how to explain that is connected. All the Achronim, all they point out that this, depending on how you understand tefillah, the beginning of our shir, Rambam versus Ramban, will be how you type that Gemara. But you'll still get to the same place. Obviously, you start, you'll get to the same end. Everyone's going to agree, Rambam and Ramban is supposed to Gemara. However, the question is, what part of tefillah are they obligated in? At least we're Rabbanon even. So most posts can hold, and this is the mission of Brura I have for you, that women are obligated to daven Shacharis, and women are obligated to daven Mincha. Not talking now about mothers with young children and other kulas. That's already secondary. But the Ikra Allah is women are obligated to daven Shacharis. Women are obligated to daven the Mishnah of Berurah. Women are not obligated to daven Ma'ariv. Why not? Arvis is a Rishus. And I, Klaiso, was Makabo. The Nashim are not Makabo. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you want equality? Women in Baltimore, but in other parts, they're clamoring. Aruch HaShulchan will give you. Just come to the Vardik. You'll get equality. Yechayiv. Equality of obligation. Yechayiv into Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So again, the notion, which is certainly more widely accepted, of the Mishnah Berurah and others, Rav Shulchan Aruch, is, again, also based on the fact that even though we see Ma'ariv in an actual way as obligatory, there are still significant echoes in Maisa of the fact that its origins, on some level or another, were, as we paskin, Arvus Rishus.